Solomon, and mainly to his son. A lot of it is that context. But you will notice that he's going to be writing to all of us. That's the truth of the matter. So it's not just to his son, the sons of the nation, right? And I want everyone to understand tonight the message, though directed to young men in context, is applicable to all of us. And I'll explain that in a moment. So we're going to be on a part one tonight, wisdom concerning immorality. We're going to read verses 1 to 6. We will cover a little more ground tonight. But by the end of the week, by the end of next week, we will have covered, I believe, this whole chapter. And there are some passages in Proverbs where you can preach an expositional message like normally we do from a text. A lot of Proverbs, as you know, we've been looking at the themes, breaking down humility or any other theme, health or money or any other theme you can think of, you can find all the verses and kind of put it together. This here is out of this text. The points, we're going to kind of stick to our passage of Scripture tonight, verses 1 to 6. My son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Let's pray. Father, tonight, help us as we consider the theme of immorality and your warnings against it from the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to open up our hearts as men and women and young people that could be present tonight. Father, we know there's an attack on society concerning human sexuality. There's a lot of perversity, a lot of immorality, a lot of destruction of lives because of this sin. Father, help us tonight to guard our hearts, guard our minds, and to be warned and to gain wisdom tonight from the book of Proverbs. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, by the way of introduction, let us know this. At no time in human history has sexual immorality been as prevalent as public as it is today. And as we grow closer to the return of Christ, go to the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3 warns us of perilous times. What are these perilous times look like? 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Then it goes on and on and on. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So here we have it. We should probably go down to verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep in the house, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. There it is. These are the things that we're seeing more prevalent in society as we come closer to the return of Christ. Opportunities for sexual sin are available almost everywhere. And many who indulge in it are proud of their ways, even boastful. You see that today on social media. They are proud of their sin. They boast in their sin. They try to justify their lifestyle and insist that their conduct is only natural and normal, isn't that? They want you to accept this as the new normal. Well, it's not normal for God. All the excuses in the world do not change this reality. When God's moral standards are rejected and ignored, people, societies, and nations, entire nations, will suffer the consequences of sin. Although the times change, we know that, people change, but the moral absolutes of God do not change. Amen. God said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Exodus 20:14. This is an unmistakable declaration in the Ten Commandments. So what is morally wrong as we lay out this passage in Solomon's day is still morally wrong today. So everyone, as I mentioned tonight, young and old, male and female, needs to pay close attention to the lessons of this chapter. Remember, the instructions of this entire division of Proverbs are from a father to his son. Because of this, the wording is gender specific. My son, attend unto my wisdom. However, the lessons are applicable to girls, to women, to boys, to men. This is what we need to understand. This chapter applies to everyone. So, number one, do not commit adultery. That's what Solomon is saying to his son. Pay close attention to wisdom. Amen. But what does he say in verse 1 and 2? My son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow down thy ear to my understanding, that thou may regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. So he's saying, pay careful attention to my teaching. You can hear a father, right? You can hear the king telling everyone in the nation, pay careful attention to my teaching. And he's saying, you need good judgment, amen? You need discretion. He says, that your lips may keep knowledge. So, when you have, you're being full of knowledge, when you're able to have that knowledge on your lips, it's because your heart's full of it, amen? So that's what he's saying. Keep this knowledge with you at all times. And then he's going to tell his son, know the seducer's enticement. His or hers. The enticements, what are they? Now, as you see here in this passage, we're going to have a progression here. And you see the end of it. You see the pain in the end. And I hope we're all aware where this ends up. So Solomon's going to warn his son about the enticing ways of this seductress and the painful end of an illicit affair. Now, the scripture does not identify the status of the woman in this passage. It may refer to a woman who is a wife of another man. It may refer to a woman who is not married. It may even refer to a prostitute. We do not know. But let's see
some of these enticements.
Flirtatious looks and suggestive speech. Flirting. Verse number 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So here we have this picture of her lips drop honey like a honeycomb, dripping that. That means this is, you think about honey in Israel, it's the sweetest substance back in known to man back in Israel. So it's the sweetest words that you will ever hear. You know, these people, they start talking like, my dear, and honey, and I mean, you know exactly what they're after immediately when they start saying those things. And so it begins with this suggestive speech. And so all of us, young or old, need to be prepared when the seductress crosses our paths. Now, we do have some figures in the Old Testament, like Joseph, remember? He was ready, didn't he? Didn't he have, he says, that thy lips may keep knowledge. Amen. That you might have discretion. You might have wisdom and judgment here. And so when she came, when Potiphar's wife, the seductive lips of Potiphar's wife, think about the wisdom of his life-altering words. See that? In one statement, God protected him. He said this, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, that decision was already made in his heart. That conviction is something he had in his life. We need to use this same guideline as a measure in our own life. How can we do this wickedness and sin against God? That's what Joseph called it. Sleeping with another man's wife is wickedness. It's a sin against God. It doesn't matter if 90% of the society practices this. It's still a sin. Amen. How about Samson? Another young man. He lost his life because of his weak and foolish surrender to deceitful young Delilah. We have these examples for us. The Bible tells us all these examples are written for our admonition. They're to be our warning. We're to learn from the Old Testament. Amen. So not only is she a sweet talker, verse 3, she's a smooth talker. Her mouth is smoother than oil. What is olive oil? Olive oil in Israel is the smoothest substance known to Israel. So this is an attempt to entice another and have an answer for everything. That's the idea. She soothes, she smooths, she softens every moral objection that may arise in opposition to her evil plan. So, here it is. This is the warning. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Now, he compares this to what? A death trap, verse 4. It's a death trap. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So think about that. What happens when the pleasure is over? Bitterness. bitterness. And that's what's happening here. You know, wormwood is the most bitter substance known in ancient Israel. See, this is all from their society. Everyone knows about this. And so the sweetness quickly turns to bitterness. Like wormwood, poison, or gall. You see, wormwood was placed on woolen garments to ward off moths, and maggots. The juice was applied to clothing to repel insects. Think of the potency of this to have such an effect. That's the picture here. It's going to end very badly. It's not what it appears to be. And then all that smooth talk, look what it says, it's going to turn into a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword. So all that silky, smooth, flattery cuts sharp as a double-edged sword. It's razor sharp on both sides. It's deadly, whichever way you wield it, it's deadly. So, do you see the picture he's painting? Think about the horrendous sensations from each of these images. The vile taste of wormwood lingering endlessly in the mouth. Excruciating painful wounds by a double-edged sword. Let me just plainly state it like this. Adultery and immorality is equal to all these graphic images painted by Solomon. Now her feet initially may point to the bedroom of lustful pleasure. But they are actually heading down toward death and even to hell. That's what it says in verse number 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. So, basically, getting involved in this sin is leading to death. Leading to hell. It's a place of torment. This is where it ends. We do know that the Bible warns us very clearly. Go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21 tells us very clearly some warnings. He says in verse number 8, 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the adulterers, the idolaters, and all liars. See, God is letting us know these sins lead to hell. Shall have their part in the lake which burnt with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, there's a lot of passages like that in the Bible. We know about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. How many of those works of the flesh are related to sexual immorality? And he says, he that does such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So do you see how very clearly these types of immoral relationships lead people to hell? They're on the wrong path. Verse number 6 now, back in our text. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable. Thou canst not know them. Really, she's on a crooked path. She's wandering down a crooked path. And she doesn't realize it. What do we see here? Solomon is warning about this. Behind her smiles and seductive charms, there's going to lurk hopelessness. She may even abhor what she does. She may even abhor the men who help accomplish her ruin. But she does not show her feelings. She smiles. She whispers her enticements. She lures this young fool on. She employs all her arts to prevent him from pondering the path of life. And her road is on the path to death. So you see the warnings here. Now, go to number two, and this is the only part we're going to get to tonight in the remaining time. Avoid immoral ruin and regret. It starts in verse 7. Notice he's talking to the children now, plural. Not just his son. Verse 7, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others in thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. So, avoid immoral ruin and regret. That's kind of the theme of what we're looking at in these verses. Sin demands an awful, inflated price for the brief benefits that it gives. Think about that. We know what inflation is, right? Think about the inflation you pay on sin. Think about the inflation you pay on the sin of immorality. That's what we're going to get into in this portion of Scripture. You think of this, what we're thinking about, this transaction. Sin is actually purchased on credit. A person may buy or get the benefit of sin now, but he or she will certainly pay for it later. You pay for it later. Do you know that a moment of sensual pleasure requires a lifetime of payments? This is the message that Solomon's trying to get, not just his son, but what does he say now? Children, all of us, amen? So let's break this down. Number one, we need to hear Solomon's warning. He says, hear me now, therefore, ye children. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Isn't this wisdom? He's changing from singular to plural. So now he's speaking to all the descendants, grandsons, great-grandsons, those who are going to follow after them. You know, he's still speaking, is he not? He's even speaking to us today. He's instructing everyone. And he's dealing with this sin of adultery that has generational effects. So what's he tell us to do? Flee from the immoral person. Isn't that what Joseph did? Isn't that what the New Testament tells us? Flee temptation. It even says flee immorality. So what we have to do is make this decision. Stay away. Don't go near her house. Remove yourself from her. Travel a road that is far from her house. Go out of your way if necessary. Stay far from her. Really saying, flee temptation. Get out of the way of temptation. Listen, he's telling us wisdom here because the physical urge is when you get close to it. So stay away from it, amen? Get far from it. Now, Solomon himself became a slave to lust. Isn't that what Ecclesiastes is all about? He tried it all. Sadly. Now, we don't know if that portion of Ecclesiastes is written before or after this. So he knows full well the power of physical urges and how dangerously strong they are. And so he's admonishing his son and grandsons not to entertain this opportunity to fulfill those desires. Then he tells us, sin will cost you. Look at this price. So, here's the invoice. Here's the bill for the moment of extravagant pleasure. Here's the tax collected on adultery, immorality. We know that sin will cost you more than you want to pay. So what will it cost you? Verse 9. Here he says it. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. What he's talking about here is you lose your honor. You lose your reputation. You lose your dignity. You lose your respect. In other passages of Scripture, he told his son that the wise inherit glory and that a crown of glory is given to those who embrace wisdom. So that glory can be forfeited, carelessly tossed aside when a person surrenders to immorality. You're just despising that honor that God wants to give you, that glory in your life. Can you imagine all the years that you may have earned for faithful service? All that could be gained in the future for being faithful can be thrown away in a moment. And he's talking about the cruel here. Who are the cruel? Don't worry. The devil has people out there. They want to destroy you in a heartbeat. They want everyone to know about your sin. What if this woman is married? What about her husband? How's he going to feel about it? What's he going to do about it? Well, he's going to be cruel. There's always someone out there who finds out about this misbehavior, this sin. How about a woman who extorts payment for her silence? That's cruel. So do you see how a person can work his entire life to pay the wages of sin? By the way, he's talking and he's getting into this about thy years. You're giving your years. You're giving your strength. You're giving your life. You're giving your accomplishments. And you're giving up your successes. Then in verse 10, he says, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. It will cost you your material wealth. So this wealth refers in the Bible. We're going to get into wisdom concerning wealth in the future. That's W, by the way. That's down the list. But it refers to those things you acquire through personal ability and work. It's the fruit of your efforts. Labors even speak of the toil involved in getting those things. All that hard work. But he says you're going to give it to who? Strangers. Strangers are going to be filled with thy wealth. Thy labors are going to be in the house of a stranger. This is the same word he's employing in verse 3 for the lips of a strange woman. The house of strangers. So someone outside your family is going to take your wealth. So what he's saying to his son and all the children are this, what you have worked for, the rewards of your labor and toil will all be given to people outside of your family. Your family's not going to benefit from that. Think about a young person, especially in the biblical times, not only what they earned by their own work, but what about their inheritance? So here they are, they're going to lose not only what they earned, they're going to lose the inheritance and give it to other people. So even their father's strength, their grandfather's strength, and toil, all that labor is going to be wasted away. We don't think about how future generations can be affected by our sin. But this is very real here. What's going to happen to the grandchildren then? Where's the inheritance? Where's the wealth? It was given to you, but you squandered it. Now it's gone. When we operate in wisdom, our wealth is passed down from one generation to the next. So don't forget, there's a great financial price to pay for adultery. Then he goes on to verse 11. It will cost you a lifetime of regret, as we see in verse 11, and grieving. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Mourning is compared to a roaring lion in the book of Isaiah. It's a loud, audible cry. An outpouring of inner turmoil. It's even used when God judged Israel for their sins and how they mourned when God judged them. Think about how you feel when the sin is done, the pleasure is ended. Now the consequences start. That's when the mourning starts. There's a physical pain. Think about the body here. The flesh and the body are being consumed by disease, by sickness. The New Testament says that when a man sins in immorality, he's sinning against his own body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. And we know that physical infirmities are God's method of chastening a person. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 11. We know David. Remember David? When he sinned with Bathsheba. All that's recorded in the Psalms. All the consequences. The emotional. The spiritual. The physical even. Of his health. All that he suffered because of his sin. But not only that. There'll be unending remorse. Verses 12 and 13. And say, how have I hated instruction? My heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. So, it's telling us there's going to be consequences for the rest of your life. The sin of remorse. This remorse. Unending remorse. You're going to be sorry that you didn't listen. That you didn't learn. You're going to always wish, man, if I can go back and do things differently. Oh, if I had another chance, I would only listen. But what is done is done. You can't change it. You can't go back. Now, biblically, if there's true sorrow, amen, godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 tells us we repent and then we don't go back to that sin. That can bring healing to your life, amen. Thank God for that. We're not saying it's over, and it's forever over. There's forgiveness. There's healing. But let me just say, there's consequences to sin. And then last of all tonight, public disgrace and humiliation. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. So here's a picture of a young man on the very brink of total destruction, brought before the public assembly in Israel. Do you know what the punishment was back then? Stoning to death. Can you imagine being brought before the whole assembly and being judged publicly? How would you feel then? That's why they brought the woman taken in adultery to Jesus. They wanted to judge her by the assembly. Thankfully, it was not always enforced, amen, but it was always available. In some cases, here's what we understand in the law, the family's husband can choose financial restitution. You're going to pay me financially for this. But he also could insist on the death penalty. I realize what I am preaching to you tonight is completely for the people of the world. This would be so old-fashioned and so antiquated, and they would probably laugh us to scorn if they could understand this whole message. But it's not going to change this. Sin demands a high price. And our society is paying the price. That is real. Even today, when immorality is prevalent and socially acceptable, those caught in adultery today even still pay a price. Maybe you know someone. Celebrities. Politicians. Someone you know personally. Family members. People who paid the price for this specific sin. I realize that in some societies, in most societies, I would say, the financial hardships of divorce are devastating to all but those who live in Hollywood. The rich and famous, they can usually handle this, right? But now, one home is divided into two homes. And one home where you had two incomes are now one income and one income.
Now, some men will have to pay alimony and child support. And when their wife remarries, other men will live off their money.
That's what it's saying here. So, should we not all tonight listen to wisdom and think twice? Think twice when a woman smiles at you and the honey drips off her lips. Run away, dear lady, dear woman, when a man's attention to you is inappropriate and his compliments are suggestive. You better run from that. Because he's usually after one thing and one thing only. And when you give it to him, you are jeopardizing your marriage, your home, your lifestyle, and your security. Do you realize that this sin will always cost you more than you want to pay? But get this, despite all that it costs you, to you personally, do you realize you're not the only one paying the bill? How about all the other innocent people that are affected by your sin? Then they're paying the bill too. Consider this, the trauma to children whose lives and homes are suddenly shattered. The devastation to an unsuspecting and crushed spouse. The hurt and shame to parents and other family members. The loss of friends who feel uncomfortable around you. The loss of confidence of those who looked up to you or admired you. The damage to the church and the cause of Christ. What's the message? Stay away from the house of the seductress. Run from the presence of a seducer. Do not entertain yourself with those things that give rise to lust. Lustful fantasies are extremely dangerous. Stay away from them. Clean your mind out of lustful fantasies. They are dangerous. They lead to this path, to this woman. And that woman leads down to death. And hell, and destruction, and ruin, and regrets. This is real. This really happens. And how many lives are destroyed because of it? Now, aren't you thankful that the chapter doesn't end there? Amen. Next week, it gives some more instruction. You can read verse 15 to 23. There is no easy way to preach about this subject. There's no easy way around it. But it is in the Word of God. And when it comes up, we must give honest and full and sincere attention to God's warnings and the destruction of sin. So that we are warned, amen, that we walk in the fear of God because this can come upon us. So let's all gain wisdom tonight, amen. Will you stand? We'll have a word.